Get one right now.
Here's the point. The point is 30 million people or one in five workers have non-competes. And the reason that I'm compelled to discuss it today is because of our friend Rich Tao at Engageus, who with a colleague of his wrote about this for Smirconish.com. This is Rich Tao. Hey, Rich, thank you for the great piece of exclusive content on the website. Before we talk about your focus group, because I candidly, when I first saw this, I thought, geez, Rich brought this up at a focus group? Is it that big of an issue? That's when I went back and did the research and realized a hell of a lot of people are impacted by this.
Absolutely. It's a huge number of Americans. And honestly, I'm glad you're giving it some attention, Michael. That's one reason why I wanted to write about it, because it affects tens of millions of workers and countless businesses, and it's barely a blip on Americans' radar screens.
So the FTC involved in this because of their proposed rule says here's just an example or two. Security guards for a Michigan company earning close to minimum wage required to sign non-competes, preventing them from taking a job with a competitor for 2 years after they left their employer or face a $100,000 fine. But perhaps it was the non-competes that workers at sandwich maker Jimmy John's were forced to sign that first brought a wave of attention to the issue back in 2014. So it's not a broadcaster. It's not necessarily a CEO. You could be making a sandwich at Jimmy John's or working in security in Michigan and have a non-compete.
That's what the FTC seems to be trying to take action on, yes.
So what's the issue, Rich? What is it that they are seeking to do?
Well, I mean, essentially what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it impossible to create new non-compete clauses in new contracts, and they're also trying to avoid existing non-compete clauses in contracts that already exist.
I know that they've drawn the ire of the Chamber of Commerce, quote, attempting to ban non-compete clauses in all employment circumstances overturns well-established state laws which have long governed their use and ignores that fact, says Sean Heather, U.S. Chamber of Commerce Senior Vice President, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When appropriately used, non-compete agreements are an important tool in fostering innovation and preserving competition. I know that some people say, well, you need to have them because you don't want the intellectual property of Company A to so quickly be used by Company B. Tell me about the focus group where you raised this issue.
So we did focus groups with our swing voter project back on January 10th with swing voters across the state of Florida. And I had some time near the end of the session to ask about this. And what was so interesting was while they were not terribly aware or terribly conversant about a variety of issues related to what was going on in Congress, they were very conversant and seemingly very knowledgeable about non-competes, which was really,
Holy
really
smokes.
Interesting.
I'm floored by that.
Yeah.
What were their opinions?
So their opinions basically were, you know, the 13 people, six of them were in favor of this proposal. And they said things like it's anti-capitalistic, the non-competes are, it stifles competition, it's an overreach of private companies on people's personal choices. One person said, I've heard of people that have 10-year non-compete clauses. If they work in the Northeast, it's literally half the country where they can't work. If you're working for one company and you want to go to try another company that has a different perspective or goals, why can't you go with them? It's like they're tying you to, you can't work with us anymore. You can't be working in that field anymore. You know, just because you can't work for us, why are we excluding you from working in the entire field? So
Rich,
there was a lot of people had very interesting reasons.
I was going to say, I rolled over for it. You know, contract after contract, I never fought on it because it was such a customary part of my industry at the time. I'm like, yeah, of course. I can't go and set up shop across town. Why the hell shouldn't I have been able to leave one employer on a Friday and go over there on a Monday? What's so special about the radio industry?
Well, I guess the issue is sort of what are you taking with you? I'm not trying to defend or oppose the non-competes. I was interested in how these swing voters looked at it. And on the side of, you know, on the people who were opposing what the FTC was doing, they said things to me like a lot of people were beneath into another, clientless procedures, and were utilizing the procedures and clientless from one company and taking that into the other company. It created an unfair advantage for that new company. And there's another person said to me, you know, they oppose voiding the contracts that are already in existence because they were signed contracts and they were agreements that were made. To suddenly have the government step in and void all these provisions of all these contracts seemed preposterous to them. So I think there are really good arguments on both sides of this. I guess it should maybe be job specific or circumstance specific.
If I'm an elected official or a would-be elected official and I'm listening to Rich Tao, the president of Engages, talk to me about a focus group, and again, it's not so much the quantitative how many people said X, Y, or Z. What's the best part about your analysis is the qualitative, what you learn from these focus groups. But what would you be telling an elected official or would-be elected official that they need to know the public's feeling on this?
Well, it goes to an interesting question, right, Michael, which is like, why did the Biden folks bring this up now? And do they think it has some political juice in it? And what I would want to do is I want to see much more extensive polling on this to see where there's an opportunity to bring people over one way or another. You know, obviously a group of 13 people in Florida is not a national sample. But right. These were some deeply held feelings that I heard. People were very vocal and very emphatic about what they said. And I'm curious to see, and I would love to know, for example, what does Biden's internal polling tell him about non-competes? Is this something where he thinks he's got an advantage? Because if you look at the release that the FTC put out, they mentioned that by some estimates, the new proposed rule could increase wages by nearly $300 billion per year and expand opportunities for 30 million Americans. Well, that's an interesting talking point. I'm curious to see what that means politically.
You know, Rich, I'm thinking about the quote from the Chamber of Commerce that Axios had, and I'm trying to discern what is the free market capitalism point of view. I mean, on one hand, it ought to be with the individual, like me. What do you mean I can't leave employer X on a Friday and set up shop across town on a Monday? On the other hand, maybe it's no, we've got to protect the business. It really does seem to pit employers and employees directly against one another. And maybe in that respect, like the Republican perspective is one on behalf of the employers and a more individualist union perspective is going to be on the employees.
That might be the case, but as the Republican Party becomes more and more worker-based and
true.
You know, do we see a shift going on here? And also, Michael, this isn't happening in a vacuum. There's a large conversation going on right now about ESG and wokeism in corporate America. I think this is all part of sort of the business becoming politicized in a way that's really interesting and perhaps volatile in our politics.
You conclude by writing, judging from these swing voters, the FTC proposal is not a slam dunk political winner for the Biden administration. That's your takeaway?
That's right. If 12 of 13 had said to me, oh my God, I can't believe that this is happening, the FTC has to step in, that would have been one thing. But I heard some very good arguments on both sides, which lead me to think, at least in this group, it was a wash. But nationally, I'd love to see polling to see whether that's true or not.
Rich, thank you so much for writing it. Hey, by the way, can we give your co-author a shout out here? I don't want to mispronounce his name. How do you say Matt's last name?
Matt Steffi. Great guy.
Okay. Matt Steffi and Rich Tao. Thank you for writing that under the headline, Swing Voters Divided Over Proposed Non-Compete Ban. I'll catch up with you later, Rich. Thank you.